I'm Frank Vaughn. It's February 12th, 2026, and Atlas is back in the intro. Because Marcus Aurelius is how I deal with the world. Atlas is how I truly feel and better represents the fulcrum. So we're going to begin today by, once again, starting here, and then we're going to review a CBC article. And this is a quote from last night's live updates when it comes to Tumblr Ridge. RCMP have clarified the timeline of the shooting and which time zone they used when they noted the time for certain events. Initially, RCMP used specific time in their statements about the incident. Thank God we have CBC to do this incredible journalism. It's incredible to me how they can pretend to be anything but the ideological political organization that they are. Before we get to that, I want to talk about one more thing, one more aspect that came to me this morning, and that is this. When a man in drag commits a crime, will the RCMP government include it in female crime statistics? How will we ever have statistical clarity and real data-driven decisions, make real data-driven decisions, if we muddy the water with fantastical identities? This is the end of everything positive that feminism ever did. Because now not only do women have to deal with men invading their shelters, the spaces that are supposed to keep them safe, oftentimes from the abuses of men, they're invading, men are invading women's sport, setting records. Because it doesn't matter how many hormones you pump into a dude, he's going to have better muscle structure, he's going to have better skeletal density, just the way it is. You can rebel against biology all you want, but there's a reason we have segregation in the sports, or we did have segregation in the sports. We've even robbed women of motherhood, which is probably their most magical superpower because it keeps the entire human race alive. Without women, we don't have humanity, but we're taking it away for women who want to be in drag themselves. Now, the problem is lion's share of the problems caused by what we're about to discuss come from men LARPing as women, but it goes the other way as well. We're taking motherhood away. We're calling it personhood. We're calling it the parent one and parent two or whatever other nonsense verbiage. We're not calling it breastfeeding anymore. We're calling it chest feeding. Feminists, you're losing everything. And I'm not sure why so many. There's a lot of wise feminists out there who are rejecting this, but I'm not sure why so many are just sitting on the sidelines and saying nothing. Literally everything is getting reversed. And now, as well, you're going to have men be represented in your crime statistics based on identity alone. So we will not have clarity when it comes to who is committing the crimes. And, you know, we've already done this with race. We've already done this with skin color. When I was living in Ontario, I remember distinctly one night, I think it was 2 a.m, I got an emergency alert about a kidnapping. Ontario-wide, woke everybody up. Millions of people got woke up by this emergency alert on their phones. And it said, a person kidnapped a baby. We couldn't have the gender. We couldn't have the sex because that might offend anybody. And we couldn't say that they were black, white. We had to guess by the name. The person's name was Deshaun, if I remember right. And then yet you're left to guess what their race might be, what they might actually look like, because in the effort to not offend anybody, we have removed clarity from the English language, which is something Orwell warned about directly. The reduction. In the Orwellian world of 1984, the dictionary was shrunk. Now, admittedly, we're not shrinking the dictionary, but we're making the definitions of everything so androgynous that we will lose entirely clarity of language in the name of pursuing delusions that can never be made real. What are we doing? What are feminists doing? Time to wake up. You're going to lose everything. Now, CBC, they don't help anything. And we're going to go through this. I wasn't going to do this video today. I had other things I wanted to talk about. But we have to do this. This is after a couple days now. What we know about the teenager behind Tumblr Ridge, BC mass shooting. 8 people killed by Jesse Van Rootseler. He went by the name Strange. However, they have elected to go with his legal name. Now, I get why they might do that, but I think it has more to do with the fact they don't want to call the guy Strange, even if that's what he called himself, according to police, who say mother and stepbrother shot in home. The family home of a teenager accused of being behind a deadly school shooting in Tumblr Ridge, BC, had been the subject of police calls related to mental health and weapons in the past 2 years. Now, here's the deal. If you have a criminal record in Canada, you can't possess firearms. You're C-picked every single day. If you so much as get in a consensual bar fight, which isn't illegal in this country, you can expect a call from the Canadian Firearms Office. Legal gun owners are constantly being harassed, now subject to mandatory confiscation, which is an ongoing dilemma, an ongoing drama, because these people have not committed any crimes. But here we are in a situation where all of these restrictions, all of these enforcements failed. RCMP identified Jesse Van Rootseler as the shooter who killed 8 people on Wednesday, including her mother and stepbrother, before turning a gun on herself. It's not a her. This is a he. They're playing the, like, this is the problem. This mass shooting is now going to count as part of the crime statistics affecting real women, which is going to skew it beyond any utility. This is nonsense. It's got to stop. You can mandate it all you want, but this is like the end of, this is end of civilizational level nonsense. It's not a her. It's a he. It's a dude in a dress. That's the root of the problem. And you're going to see the CBC doesn't even want to examine that. Police said they were investigating the circumstances leading to the tragedy, including the relationship between the suspect and the 2 family members she killed in her home. Not a she, it's a he. And the fact is, those family members were very concerned about what was going on with their son, with her son, the mother's son. You know, we dishonor the dead when we are more concerned about these word games and identities. Dude was a dude. RCMP said Van Rootseler shot his mother, I'm correcting, and stepbrother before killing 6 more victims, injuring more than 24 others, and then shooting himself at Tumbler Ridge Secondary School 2 kilometers away. Now note, they're referring to this dude as she, but they haven't yet told you about the trans identity. Let's see if it comes up. Police said they were, because I didn't read this whole article. I read a portion of it, and then I'm like, nope, I'm going to shoot this video, and I'm going to react to it. I usually like to do things a little bit different, but this is what I'm doing today. Oh, here we go. Police said they were identifying Van Rootseler in the same manner as she did in public and on social media. He! According to police, the 18-year-old was assigned male at birth, but began transitioning to female about 6 years ago. You can't do it! You can't do it. It doesn't matter how much you try. Hormones, mutilation surgeries. You can't do it. Why, if this was happening 6 years ago to an 18-year-old, why the fuck? And I'm going to swear, I'm going to let myself swear, why the fuck are we allowing 12-year-olds to do this to themselves? Because it leads to nothing but bad outcomes. When you say a delusion is real, it creates a cognitive dissonance. It creates friction. That's why they explode far more often, especially the young ones. They're not even fully developed. Their brains aren't fully developed. They need to be protected from this, not encouraged to do it, because so many who are coached into this and make irreversible decisions about their health, because we're bypassing parents in this country with the signature of an activist doctor and a couple other activists. You can engage in this process, and then you find yourself at 20 or 23 years old. You're sterile. You're irreversibly harmed, and no one gives a fuck about you at that point. It's tragic. I've seen it happen. I've dealt with parents. I've talked to parents who have seen this. I've talked to detransitioners who were allowed to do this by their parents, coached into it by the people in their lives, and now they're wrecked. You want to talk about mental health? They have to bear the consequences of these decisions for the rest of their lives, and no one gives a fuck about them once they've been damaged beyond repair. They're ignored. No media stories. No one cares about their pronouns when they indicate that they are filled with regret. Regret about a decision that shouldn't have been encouraged, because the vast majority of people who experience gender dysphoria recover from it. 4 out of 5, just let it go by the time they reach the age of maturity. It's not real. Social media accounts connected to the suspect were the subject of worldwide scrutiny, as were the social media accounts. Now remember, it took them 2 days to just write this. And you're going to notice stark lack of detail. For any of you that have actually looked at the social media, for any of you who have done the research, you're going to recognize there's a big glaring omission here in terms of detail. Social media accounts connected to the suspect were the subject of worldwide scrutiny, as were the social media accounts of Van Rensselaer's mother, Jennifer Strange, and her extended family, whose members span across the country from Newfoundland to BC Sunshine Coast. According to the BC Supreme Court family case from 2015, Strange's children traveled the country with their mother, who was ordered not to remove them from British Columbia after an application from her former partner. So this is another thing. Broken homes. I wish parents could understand how valuable each parent is, the father and the mother, whether you like each other or not after you decide to make a baby. The only protection a child has is the unity of two parents to keep them healthy. It's like the only protection you still have. People have noted conversion therapy. It's so weird. They call it conversion therapy, the thing that is illegal. But conversion therapy that is illegal, it's an inversion of words. It's Orwellian, because it's not conversion therapy. The thing that's illegal is telling somebody they're healthy in the body they were born in. Not conversion. To not convert. That is illegal, and they call it conversion therapy. They flip it. So professionally, whether it's your guidance counselors, whether it's your psychotherapist, whether it's your psychologist, whether it's your lawyers, whether it's your professors, the only people who are allowed to coach you or tell you that you should stay in the body that you're healthy in is the parents. You are your children's best defense against this nonsense, because they are moving to ban any advice that doesn't just affirm, so that when you have a 10 or 12 year old that comes along and says, hey, you know, I'm immature. I still play with stuffed toys. But I've been exposed to the rainbows. I've been exposed to the nonsense. And I want to try on being a girl. I'm a boy and I want to be a girl. Or I'm a girl and I want to be a boy. You know, I just want to try it. And the only thing professionals can legally do in Canada is say, you should. Your feelings are valid. What you're thinking is real. We can make that happen for you. They're not allowed to say the other side of the coin. Now, they can present, and I've showed this on the channel before, the permission slip that essentially warns the child of all of the long-term health consequences, and it's basically a waiver. It tells them in no uncertain terms, you will ruin your biological life, and there's no reversing it. It says it, and then this kid is supposed to sign it with the signature of an activist doctor, and there's only one answer for that kid. Yes, we will do it. And then when they're left with regret 6, 8, 10 years later, there's nothing for you, because you have outlived your utility to the ideology. You're damaged goods that everybody just wants to cover up. You know, people talk about unmarked graves that we haven't really found yet. We talk about all of this reparations for the past. And yet we have thousands of kids right here in this country that are heading towards a life of regret. And we're doing nothing about it in real time. That's how fake Canada's virtue is. We're the fakest nation on the face of this planet. According to the BC, these children have led an almost nomadic life, from what I've been told, with multiple moves over the last 5 years from Newfoundland, Grand Cache, and Powell River. Justice Anthony Saunders wrote in a ruling ordering Strange to provide her children telephone access to their father. It can hardly be the case that the children are tied in any meaningful sense to one location. I don't know what that has to do with anything. I don't know why the CBC has dedicated all of these paragraphs to that. When you open by talking about social media accounts, you're leaving out the most pertinent details. At the point of the family court dispute, Strange wanted to relocate her children to Newfoundland so they could enter the school system in that province. She was pregnant at the time, and she claimed she made the move to Newfoundland so that she could receive support for her family. Over the following years, Facebook accounts of family members show a tight-knit family who celebrated Van Rensselaer's achievements and birthdays. That's what they got out of the social media presence. I don't need to get into it. You can probably find a dozen YouTube videos of people examining the content of these channels and what was actually going on. The CBC is not telling you about anything valid. It's a spin machine. A post from Strange's Facebook account, this is the mother, suggests that Van Rensselaer had developed an interest in weapons. Check out my oldest son, Jesse Strange's YouTube channel, because that's what he referred to himself as. He posts about hunting, self-reliance, guns, and stuff he likes to do, read the post. which links to a now deleted YouTube channel. He doesn't go on much other social media, so this is his way of sharing his life. Police said they recovered two firearms, a long gun and a modified handgun at the high school. Neither weapon was registered to Van Rensselaer. Now, this is the insertion of the guns as the cause, because we all know that's where this is going. And once again, I'm just going to remind everybody that a gun left propped up in the corner will never shoot anybody, even if it's loaded and cocked. It requires a person behind it. But CBC is not interested in examining the mental health disorder that the embracement of a false identity actually causes in poor children who haven't even completed puberty. It's a confusing mess under the best of circumstances. And we make it worse, not better. Children between the ages of 12 and 17 can apply for a minor's firearm license in Canada, which allows them to borrow non-restricted firearms for approved purposes, like learning about the use of firearms, shooting competitions, and hunting or target practice. Has nothing to do with anything. Because for one thing, a handgun, there's only really one permitted use you can use it for in Canada, maybe two, sport shooting, and taking it to the range or taking it to the gun shop for work. Otherwise, you can only have it in your home. It has to be under lock and key. You have to have a permit to transport the thing to the range. Like, everything about handguns, everything outside of those purposes is already illegal in Canada. And without an RPAL, you can't possess one. So by definition, from the fact that it was used to kill people, which is already illegal, the fact that there was possession of something that was already illegal, like, it's already illegal. I shouldn't say I don't know why they're inserting this. We know why they're inserting this. According to the RCMP, Van Rensselaer had a firearms license which expired in 2024. So again, already illegal. If the firearms license that doesn't, why don't they tell you that it doesn't apply to the modified handgun? Why are they telling you that the modified handgun, there's no permitted access to a handgun for these purposes, let alone a modified handgun that can be applied to the, in the, like, they're not telling you the pertinent facts. They're building a narrative. You don't hate the CBC enough. You're forced at the barrel of a gun, ironically, because that's what government is. They are a mandatory extraction machine, which at the end of the day is enforced by jail cells and firearms. They take your money and then they make you pay for propaganda. According to the RCMP, had a firearms license. RCMP said they had a history of police attendance at the family residence, and some of the calls had been related to mental health issues, including an instance when the suspect was apprehended under the Mental Health Act and taken to hospital for assessment. I would argue this last paragraph is the most pertinent paragraph in the entire story. And guess what? It's at the bottom. If you've ever been taught about journalism, you put the most pertinent information, the most devastating information, the most relevant information. It goes at the top of an article. When you deliberately put the most relevant information, first off, succinct. We talked about the social media accounts. We didn't talk about the content, except for this Nerf ball quote of the month. Like, is it not Nerf ball? It's not just Nerf ball. It's insulting to the deceased mother that this is the one quote they use, which is her encouragement of his hunting, self-reliance, guns and stuff interests. There's a lot of other material, but that's what they picked because they want to build the narrative about the guns. They're already doing it. And I mean, it's you want to call it subtle. It's not. It's as subtle as a hammer banging on a table. But this is the most pertinent information. And what are those mental health issues? First off, they only mention the trans identification once. They don't get into the details. They don't talk about the clear-cut science that shows the instability, the factual, data-driven matter that these people who are being told yes, mandated that they have to be told yes and their identity has to be affirmed, how often that leads to tragic outcomes for the individual as well as for the public, way outside the normal statistical range for every other demographic in society. The mental health issues derive and arise from that reinforcement. The policies of the Canadian government as they sit on the books right now, will lead to more of this. It's just, at some point, we got to stop the nonsense. Like, where's the Conservative Party on this? You know, they do some talking about keeping men out of women's sports and stuff. It's all Nerf ball. It's all safe zone. Why aren't they championing the protection of kids from life-altering decisions which the government says they must engage in? Like, it's a scary thing when you think about the fact that Soji is being taught in kindergarten in BC. So they're being programmed. And like every kid is drawn to rainbows. Rainbows are fascinating things. They appear in the sky. They're part of the lore, even though the lore of the world has been replaced in recent times. They picked a rainbow flag. They picked this multicolored transgender flag. Who does it appeal to? Kids, bright colors. So then they do that. They appropriate the rainbow. And then they teach Soji to them in kindergarten, programming them with the gender nonsense, the gender unicorn. It has predictable outcomes. And then when the child indicates curiosity in the opposite sex, there's only one thing the law says you can do, and that is start them down the road to an affirmation of the fantasy, affirmation of the delusion, that you can become something you're biologically not. And this creates dissonance. This creates friction, creates anger, frustration. And then, and I know I'm repeating myself, but this is really important, folks. When they're all done making life-altering decisions over 5, 10 years, they come into young adulthood, and I consider young adulthood your early 20s, filled with regrets and wondering why everybody failed them. And there isn't a single champion in public life that will actually take a stand against it. Do you honestly think that if they're, maybe people don't want to speak out loud because the activists are really loud and oftentimes quite violent. The other side makes a lot of noise. They talk about peace, love, and understanding. They talk about acceptance. They talk about tolerance. But man, they are not very tolerant of those who want to protect children from this. And people who just say, you know what? Your genetics, your DNA should unfold naturally until at least you're out of puberty. I would argue it should unfold naturally until your brain is fully developed and you can actually make those decisions coldly and rationally, because I don't think people would make those decisions by and large. There's usually a lot of problems underneath the surface. I don't believe for a second that this is popular with the majority of people in Canada, but they don't have a voice. They don't have anybody they can unite behind. They don't have a viable political party or candidate championing this. I think they might hold their silence in public for fear of reprisal, but when they went to the privacy of the ballot box, they would absolutely vote for the protection of female-only spaces. They would absolutely vote for the protection of children from this nonsense. If they were given a plebiscite, if there was a plebiscite today to repeal C-16 or the upcoming Bill C-3, which will change fundamentally how we have to talk about these things, if we can talk about them at all, they would vote against it. The country would remove it. This does not represent the country. The problem is there's a distinct lack of bravery in politics. Why is that? Why does nobody want to take this on and tell the truth? Why does nobody want to stare down the, and it's a big money industry. There's a lot of money tied up in this ideology. Why does nobody want to stare down this industry and actually have the difficult conversation? It's not even difficult. But it's going to be a fight because you got a lot of loud activists that are going to be yelling back at you. Why not engage with that? I mean, it's a great big political opportunity that I think the CBC is, or not the CBC, the CBC is absolutely in, that the CPC, the Conservative Party of Canada, is totally waffling on, a missed opportunity. I don't know if I finished this point because I just talked for a long time, so I'm going to circle back. Parents are the only defense for their children. You have to protect them from everything now. Because even if you find a professional healthcare provider, as they're called, they are not allowed to do anything except affirm the identity. The parents are the only people who are allowed to say, this is delusional. You're going to stay your biological sex. You're going to come into maturity. The child can disagree. There can be a battle. But two parents united and the health and well-being of their children is still the best line of defense. And in the three cases that I highlighted of people that I know who have gone through this with all girls, girls that identified as trans, all those parents resisted the advice of counselors, resisted all of the nonsense that was coming from the public school system. Often found when they pushed back, the public school system, the people in the public school system, were willing to back off of what they're required to do. Because the people who are trapped by the law may have their own opinions. They may not want to advise a child to self-sterilize or interrupt puberty or any of the other unhealthy options that they're supposed to go with. And so if they have parents who are against it, that allows them to back off. And even in Ontario, that oftentimes happens. And so, parents, you got to parent strong. You got to stick together for the kids. I know that's a phrase no one likes. Doesn't mean you got to stay in an abusive relationship. You can even separate if you have to do that, but you got to get it together for your kids. You can't let your personal squabbles come between the health and well-being of your children. They should come first because they need you. They're under assault. Childhood is on the ropes, especially in BC and Ontario. Doug Ford was elected. He was supposed to fix this. He was supposed to fix the fact that the sex ed curriculum in Ontario was written by a convicted pedo. PDF, I guess I'm supposed to say, so the YouTube censors don't get it. I just don't care. I don't want to have to jump through the hoops of language. Doug Ford didn't fix anything. There's places in this country which are much better for people who want to raise their kids with a degree of sanity. And I would suggest that you might want to consider relocating and pursuing that if you think this is going to be a problem. Public school in most places in this country is not where it's at. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.